Okay, just a quick two programming announcements. First of all, next week for sure 8:30. Next week for sure 8:30. Mincha Maariv is just so early these days until everything flips over. This week it was sort of iffy. Last week was sort of iffy, but starting next week for sure 8:30. And also because in 2 weeks and in 3 weeks, I've invited guests and they're not getting here before 8:30. So in 2 weeks during our service to meet you, we're going to hear from our friend Rabbi Wolbe. He's going to come visit. Rav Zev Wolbe always comes during the season, always brings something exciting, so he's a worthwhile visitor. And then Motzei Yom Kippur is a Thursday this year, which is great. Because when you have Motzei Yom Kippur Thursday, that means Rabbi Ari Leibowitz, who gives a shiur that is extremely well attended around the world, is off. Of course, he knows that I know that in July, when visiting aid comes up in Camp Cayley. And so he knows that he's not going to be off. He's going to be in Elizabeth. So, sure enough, I booked him on visiting day, about 5 minutes after I saw you. And sure enough, he said, I know already. I'm coming to Elizabeth. So Rav Ari Leibowitz, one of the Rosh Yeshiva, Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Yochanan, and the Rav of the Basic Knesset of North Woodmere, and so many other titles, he's going to be here. Most importantly, he's a very, very special and dear friend. And he's somebody special you don't want to lose out. Okay, so both of those things will take place at 8:30, please God, not next week, but the week after and the week after that. And Rabbi Cohn, who was supposed to be here next week, is going to reschedule. Unfortunately, he had a conflict and he didn't realize it. This week's question, so two new ones and an old one, because the old one didn't make it into last week and I thought it was a worthwhile discussion. Question number one, this is a sad story. It's a sad story. My neighbors have an elderly grandmother that they are devoted to. She is a sweet woman, and despite the horror she went through in the Holocaust, she's always smiling and she's quite friendly. She's quite beloved in our apartment building. The thing is that almost every night at about 2:30 in the morning, she goes out onto her porch and she starts screaming, "Jews, run! The Nazis are coming for you and the children!" And she screams it and she screams it, and you can imagine the discomfort in the building on the one hand, because people love her. And they feel for the scars that she must feel from this post-traumatic stress disorder. But at the same time, the constant screaming is very disconcerting. The children in the apartments are waking up with nightmares, right? And also the adults are at wit's end. I mean, it's tough. You finally fall asleep, you get all the kids asleep, and then, "Jews, wake up, the Nazis are gone!" It's pretty serious, right? So the question was as follows. Can you force her to be moved to a nursing home? Or at least ask that she be on psychiatric medicine. Can you ask? Her family argues that if they play with her medication regimen, it'll kill her. And if they move her into a nursing home, they might as well move her into the Beis Olam. What should we do? That's question number one. Pretty serious question, right? Life has big questions. Two, I was at a bar mitzvah recently and was told how much work the bar mitzvah I put into practicing the bar mitzvah parsha. As a close family friend, I was honored with Hagba on the Sefer Torah, and I wish I had put in the same type of practice into my Hagba that he put into his laning. Seriously, I almost single-handedly ruined Kiddush by dropping the Sefer Torah. And so it got me thinking, can I start a Hagba club to train people to do Hagba on heavy Sefer Torah?
He almost ruined it. He almost dropped it.
He was going to drop it. His point was, he was going to drop the Sefer Torah. He wants to know.
I understand the question, but I just want to understand.
To understand the story. That was the question, right? And number three is a repeat from last week. We didn't get to, but it's worthwhile to ask. I've been after my husband to start planning the calendar. Taking into account school meetings, Shabbos, all the Yomim Tovim, Slichos. He noted with that kind of crazy schedule in the next 3 weeks, he doesn't know if he'll have time to build the sukkah. So I volunteered to do it. Can I? So we've got the woman wanting to build the sukkah. We have the man who wants to start Hagba Club. And we have the Nebuch, the woman with PTSD.
You pick first. Ladies first.
Number one.
Okay, so let's look at both ends of the question, right? What do people think? What do you do for the poor, this poor bubby? But look at the poor neighborhood. They have to balance. Thoughts? Let's look at all angles of the question. What are the tainas? Taina number one, she's a bubby, it's pikuach nefesh. Right? How do you do that to her? She's a Holocaust survivor. Kodesh kadasher. Right? Taina number two, well, look at the other side. What's the other tenant? Nobody can sleep.
The cost for many versus the cost of one.
Okay. The cost of many versus the cost of one. What do you mean by that?
Meaning, even if there are some inherent risks,
right,
which I'm not so sure is how you put it, that it's, you might as well put it in the cemetery versus nursing home, but that's a little vague to me. But even if there are some potential ramifications of fallout by moving her, that affects one individual, where her every night waking up the entire building is affecting many people.
Okay. So you're a big fan of...
I'm not sure what I'm a fan of yet. Okay. We're thinking okay. this a lot. We're talking a lot.
Okay.
So.
What's the basis of their argument?
The building's argument?
If I don't like you, I think that when you live next door to me and you walk around with a scowl on your face every day, right? So I say, you know what? You have to move. Why? Because I deserve sunshine, so you have to move. Do I have a right to do that? Why? What leg do I have to stand on? So if I come to you and I complain, like Nebuch, you know, the fact that you rent out your spare house to a bunch of people who are using it to produce pharmaceuticals that sell at a much higher rate than market value, right? So I come and I say, like, you know, we have all these these seedy people in the neighborhood at 3 o'clock in the morning playing with their, heavy speakers, and they're coming in carrying, you know, very serious, third world countries are not as well armed as some of the people coming into your house, right? I think I would have a right to argue that what? Your use of your home is causing me damage right now. Your actions are causing damage to me. Why? You know, your people are coming outside, they're flicking their cigarette butts all over my lawn, they're shooting around at night, they're shooting up, they're shooting out, my kids are finding vials all over my lawn. I have a right to argue to you, like, you know what? It's a real problem. Because they're this overt hezek, this overt damage. Where's the damage over here?
That's a shame.
Huh?
Shame.
Is that called a damage? Is that overt, marked damage? We know we say it's a bad midah, but, like, she's... clearly suffering from PTSD.
Correct, but if everyone the next day is suffering because they can't function properly at work,
uh-huh.
And the kids are suffering.
Everyone.
Okay.
It takes a toll on everyone. The kids the next day in school are tired because their sleep was disrupted. The adults are tired at work because their sleep was disrupted. It feels once in a blue moon, but if this is happening on a nightly basis, it's not, you can't function.
So let me ask you a parallel question now. Now let me throw a curveball. Family of four, right? Parents, two children, let's say for the sake of the conversation, a three-year-old and a four-and-a-half-year-old, right? Or a two-year-old and a three-and-a-half-year-old. How about that? A two-year-old and a three-and-a-half-year-old. Mommy and daddy get together, they have a child, now there's a brand newborn in the house. Baby has a little bit of colic, it's a baby is screaming at the top of the lungs. So the three-and-a-half-year-old sits down one day on... crawls up onto daddy's lap and says to daddy, I think it's time to get rid of baby sibling. Why? Because I can't sleep at night and my younger sibling can't sleep at night and it doesn't look like either of the two of you are doing that well either. Would you all argue the same thing? We're calling little orphan Annie together and sending...
But that you can't expect someone to put their kid up for adoption because the baby's waking up all night.
Why not? Where's the difference?
You're sick because that's family. So here, cortisol, ravens, LSS, so she's also...
I'm not saying anything. I'm just drawing... I'm drawing parallels. I'm actually doing the opposite of what you're doing. You're going after the nice, you know, the Musa Sheba. I'm turning backwards actually from the legalities, right? From the Halacha Sheba.
So it's not...
Where's the difference between the two cases?
It's not unprecedented or unheard of for a family to relocate an elderly person to an assisted facility where they get the proper care and attention they deserve. It's very unprecedented, very unheard of for a family to give the kid away because the kid's gone all night.
Well, okay, so let's first of all take a step back. What do you want to weigh in on that? How come the old lady is possibly different than the little kid? And so Yuri says it's a question of urche, it's normal style. Right? Women screaming at 2:30 in the morning, run, the Nazis are coming, is much more disconcerting than a baby crying at night. Right? People learn how to handle the baby crying at night. People don't learn how to handle Get up! The Nazis are coming! Jews, run! Okay. What is the level of damage of noise? So the Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Chaf Amud Beis, does say that noise makes a difference. The Gemara quotes a Mishnah. The Mishnah is there on Daf Chaf. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says, if a person opens a store, let's go with something very simple. We have an apartment building, right? And right there on the ground floor of the apartment building, I open up a store, right? I buy a regular apartment, right? Maybe two. I rent a regular apartment, maybe two. And now, you know, I have a 24-hour store, right? So you live upstairs, and you can't stand it. Every time you come, right, there's no parking. And then at night, you're trying to go to sleep. And we hear at night, when people coming out of the store, they don't like what they got. They're screaming. They're yelling. So the Mishnah says, Chana shebachatzah yachol limchos biyadav olomalo eini yachol lishom mikol nechnas mikol ayotzim. You have a right to go down to me and say to me, listen, Rabbi, this is very nice, but this area is not zoned for a store. I can't sleep. Why can't I sleep? Because all I hear at night is everyone coming in, and they're coming out, and they're coming in, and they're coming out. I can't sleep. Aba osi kalim, right? But if a person makes utensils, right? Yotzei omocha b'soch hashuk. If I work in my own garage making stuff, this guy in my neighborhood is very close to you, in fact. Very close to you. So he has a studio in his garage, and he, right? So the neighbors used to complain that that it was too noisy at night. And so they wanted to call and complain. So if you have somebody who has a workshop in the garage, so eina yachol limchos biyadav lomalo, eina yachol lishon, lo mikol patish, lo mikol reichaim, lo mikol atinokos, right? The person can't say, I can't stand I can't sleep because I hear too much noise coming from the, what do you call it, the potash, the hammer, the anvil, and the, I can't do it because you're making bakery items, I can't do that because you're milling the flour, or because you have children there, you can't stop because of that. So that's the Mishnah in Bava Basra. Now, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah have a machlokis in Choshen Mishpat as to how we apply that rule. When do we say that that's called the same thing as the first type of noise, where you're worried about people going in and out? And what is the second type of noise? So this appears in Choshen Mishpat, Simen Kufnun Vav Sif Beis. So there, the Shulchan Aruch says, Chanut Shebechatzer, when you have a store in the middle of a chatzer, so Yecholim Ashkenim Limchos Biyadav, Lom Alom, Eina Anu Yecholim Lishon, Mikol HaNechnasim V'Hayotzim. Ela Osem Alachto B'Chanuso Mochel HaShuk. I'm allowed to do my work inside. Right. First, the Mechaber says that what the neighbors can stop the guy from opening the store, but they can't stop him from having a factory. Like Giddy said before, it's normal when something is considered normal and nobody stops it. He started, nobody said anything. Right? If it's something that's to be expected and nobody ever complained before, you can't all of a sudden start complaining. Haggad, so the Ramah turns around and he says that, no, v'yesh omrim, d'chol masha usa b'chanuso u'beveso afilu l'chadchila enam yicholim limchos. If a person just has practices that are normally done, that they're there, they're normal in the house, even then you can. It doesn't matter what. If I start in my house and you come down to me the first time, right? I start playing with a band in my garage, right? And you come complaining the first time. If it's considered normal, says the Rama, right, to have a garage band, you can't come to me and complain. You know why? Because that's normal. Something that's not normal. My street is not zoned for a 24-hour 7-Eleven, right? So there I can stop you. It's not zoned for an illegal pharmacy, so I can stop you because of that. But the Mechaber says no. I can only stop you when I can only stop you if I stop you the first time. The Ramah says no. The factor is not that you were okay with that. The factor is, are people generally okay with it? And this is the difference of opinion between the Mechaber and the Ramah. Now, the Sma, one of the commentaries on the side of Shulchan Aruch, Choshen Mishpat, so he says, a person can't complain what goes on in somebody else's house. If it's going on in my house, you don't have a right to complain about it, period. The only time you can complain is in the common areas. That's why I talked about an apartment building before, right? Or the street. But if you have, if you're a drug addict and you're running a drug den inside your house, and it's not affecting the common areas, the fact that I don't like it, you know what we say? Good fences make good neighbors. So suggests the smut. Deceiver says that's not so, so true. He thinks that's only true according to the Rama. So in this case, bringing all this issue back to us, so let's understand. The neighbors want to argue what? The neighbors want to argue that she's keeping us up at night. And the neighbors want to argue that she has, something has to be done about it because we can't sleep. What I did not tell you is where the neighbors live. I told you she's screaming where? On the porch. So first of all, where do the neighbors live? Because if I live across the street or next door, so according to what we saw in the Sma, who am I? I'm just, you know, I'm stuck. And moreover, even if I live in the same building, where is she screaming? She's screaming in her own place. So why do the neighbors have a right to a claim? Right? Why do the neighbors have a right to a taina? According, again, based on the...
Because they're affected by it, regardless of their proximity to her.
But again, where is the damage? Remember, in halacha, I have to look at whether there's damage here. And so, from the perspective of halacha, I'm not doing damage to you. I'm doing what I'm doing to myself, right? So
if every night I set up fireworks in my backyard,
unless it affects beyond, well,
like we had recently a few weeks ago, fireworks at 3 a.m. going off and woke up the whole community.
Right.
So,
boy, it's a good thing. That's the hour I sleep.
So people 3 blocks away. So according to Alaka, I'm not culpable for waking up the whole hillside.
Culpable. Or am I culpable? Do you have a right to complain? Do I have a right to make you stop? Right? You have a right to complain, but do I have a right to stop you if I'm doing it in my own backyard?
It's not orcha to set up fireworks.
See, the problem over there is those guys who are setting things off at 3 o'clock in the morning. We're doing it in the end of my block, you know, by Chaim,
in that end.
So, first of all, that's a common area. We do have a right to tie this there.
Fine. I'm saying, right? So if they did it in their backyard...
But technically speaking, they did it in their backyard. Unless there are noise ordinances with that, which they happen to have in Hillside, unless there are noise ordinances, in which case the entire community, when you move into a community, you know the rules. There are no ordinances about 98-year-old ladies screaming about Nazis. Right? So I can't come and make a person chayev, right, to pay, because I have no leg to stand on. And that's where the difference is. There's no ordinance. There's no noise ordinance about women screaming, at night. In fact, when women scream at night, it's usually a good thing for them to be able to scream, as in last week's parsha, right? Let them scream. Tzaka nara. I don't want a woman to say I was going to be attacked, but I was afraid to say something because I didn't want to violate the noise ordinance. That's ridiculous.
Does a noise ordinance? I know game.
That's okay.
Does it specify what the noise is, whether it's music, whether it's shouting?
No, it's usually a decibel level, but I think if I walked over to the prosecutor's office, there's a question for Chief Justice Dombeck. We'll ask him, Chief Justice, when you're evaluating the noise ordinances in Hillside, what would you do about a 98-year-old lady screaming, the Nazis are coming? I did not get a chance to ask Seth that question, so I will have to ask him afterwards. But that's a good question to ask. We'll see which one of us sees him first. You know, Tom, we were talking about this last night, and the question came up, but I don't know. But let me backtrack, because, I do have one problem over here. That's all great, assuming everyone's healthy, right? What if I can't sleep and you're now inflicting damage on me? Why? Because if I can't sleep and I need to sleep, then what are you doing to me? You're causing me damage. No? I'm a sick person. So the Beis Yosef and the Rama both cite the Rivash, who notes that when the person who is complaining is sick, so then halacha tends to support the person. So, like, for instance, Rav Yosef was once, he lived in a chatzer, and one of the guys who moved in the chatzer decides he's going to do bloodletting. So Rav Yosef says, you can't bloodlet in this chatzer. Why? It's because it makes me sick. So what? So stay in your house. The answer is no. If somebody is going to be sick, right, so then all of a sudden things change. Now, let's talk about Halacha Shabbos for a second, just from the basis, right? What's one of the things we learn about Hilchos Shabbos about children and illness? Children are always considered a standard situation with a child. If you have a real reason to assume a cholish yesh bo sakana, it depends on the age. You're talking about newborns. I'm talking about like a regular 6-7-year-old, right? Let's say, you know, we always treat them a little bit more towards the level of a cholish yesh bo sakana. So you have a child who's a cholish yesh bo sakana, but still has the status of a chola. That's in the words, cholish yesh bo sakana. So, you know, you've got a child who's 4, 5, 6, 7, waking up every single night, right? Right? And I'd like to add, even the adults, you know, you might argue at this stage in the game, you know, after 2, 3, 4 days of, I can't speak for the rest of you, but with Slichas coming down the pipeline, tell my wife it's going to take nerves of steel for you the next week. Not this so much this week, but between Aseres Yemei Teshuva, right, with the Dafyomi and everything else, and sometimes the nights go late around here, right, during the season. So if I'm sleeping in, you know, an hour or two, I'm going to be frazzled. And without a doubt, everyone's coming into the office that week. They're also anxious. Ema Sadin hits the Center for Anxiety Relief, Lech Chumra, right? They're already calling in. They're calling in right now. But the fact of the matter is that that if a person is a chola, maybe there's room to argue, look, no offense, you know, even though Halacha doesn't say you don't have a, it's in my your house, whatever, but the Rivash says, like, what about me? You're making me sick. So, how are we going to juggle these two pieces? So Yidi offered a suggestion before. Before we get to Yidi, my child is named after the Chazon Ish. So, I like to quote the Chazon Ish before I quote Yidi. And the Chazon Ish, in his comments, Bava Basra, Yud Gimel, Yud Aleph, so he says that you can only complain about things that don't normally come along with living in an apartment. You don't normally have somebody bloodletting in an apartment. You don't normally have a drug den in the apartment. You may have, you know, things in the apartment. You know, I normally have a drug den, right? But let's say I want to set up an orphanage, and children cry. So what are you going to tell me? I can't set up an orphanage? That's ridiculous, right? So what do we do? So I'll tell you, Rav Osner Zatzal, Shevet HaLevi, Chelek Zion, Simon, Reish, Chaf, Dalet. So Rav Osner writes that in regard to noise, today we're all cholim. We're cholim. We can't send. I walk up behind you, or sneak up behind you, and I scream, boom, right? You're going to jump 27,000 feet, and then you're going to be frayed, and your heart's going to explode, and you're going to have all those other issues. Like you said, somebody set up some fireworks at the end of my block. 3 blocks away, they're cooling hot soul already, you know. And it's not just the old people who are nervous. Everyone gets nervous into such a situation. And so maybe we should argue that in this case, Nebuch, the woman is a mazik. And if she's a mazik, maybe we should make her stop the damage. Pretty serious argument, no? And this would make things a little bit more serious. So Rav Zilberstein says that's only true. Rav Zilberstein says that this was a court case in Rav Zilberstein's Beis Din in Bnei Brak. So he says, look, if the woman herself was a normally functioning individual, you have a basis for your argument, and you have a basis to argue that it's a normal functioning person against a chola. We're without sleep, we're chola. She's also not well, right? It's very clear that she's not well. And when is she causing her damage? In the midst of her sickness. This is what we call in the business, during her post-traumatic, during her flashbacks, right? So therefore, if we're going to force her to move, what do?
Even force her to move is not going to help her even, because then the nurse home should wake up every night.
Right, but maybe the argument was the argument was in the nursing home maybe they're better equipped to deal with this.
They are, but for her,
right?
We're saying she's a chola. You're not helping her. She's going to wake up in the nursing home. The obvious answer.
So somebody comes into Beis Din, sister, says, and this is great. You'll like this, Raya, right? And then right, someone comes to Beis Din and says, Rebbe, I understand the problem. There's a Gemara in Mefereshus that answers our whole question. Samara says, really? Which Gemara? So you may remember this. I'll start reading it, and you're like, oh yeah! There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. It gets quoted all the time on Tisha B'Av. The Gemara says as follows, Ma'isa b'isha achas. There's a story of a certain lady, Shchento shel Rabban Gamliel. She was the neighbor of Rabban Gamliel. Right? Shemeis b'nah. And Nebuch, her child died. Now, that's pretty serious stuff. Shtarach, women should, we should never, ever, ever have to go through what this woman went through. And so what happened? Vaisa bocha alav balayla. Sound familiar? She would cry for him every single night. She'd be there crying, crying. Right? Shama Rabbi Gamliel kola. So Rabbi Gamliel heard her voice. Ubacha. And he cried. Kinegda. He cried also. Right? Why did he cry? He cried for the Churban HaBayis. He says, she feels alone. She lost her son. I mean, it got so bad. That shenashru risei einav. His eyelashes fell out. Now you remember the Gemara? Okay. See, kiru bo talmidav. The talmidim see the Rebbe's coming in. His eyes are red all the time. His needs drops. He's got no eyelashes anymore. They tried to figure out what was going on. And they realized that because the woman's crying, Rabbi Gamliel's crying. And so what did they do? Votziyu amishchunasa. They made her move. What do you see from this? Woman has post-traumatic stress disorder. She's depressed, right? It affected somebody else who? Rabbi Gamliel. What did they do? They tell me they moved her out. Ergo, what do you see? Right? No? So this is why we never pass confirm in Hakadata, right? Rabbi Zilberstein says, no way. He says he could push off that raya for a couple of reasons. One, first of all, maybe when you're the nasi, like you got to be on your best, because the entire Am Yisrael is depending on you. So Rabbi Zilberstein says, first of all, maybe a nasi is different. Sharei kol Am Yisrael tzrichin lo, right? So therefore, he has to have the yishuv adas. Maybe he needs a little bit more sleep than the average Joe. He says, and by the way, you ever hear of eminent domain? Do you know what eminent domain is? It happened to my father. That's why Abba's Market and Grill in Cleveland, Ohio no longer exists. Right? What's eminent domain? If everybody wants, let's say Hillside decides from now on, they want to build a street. They want to build a street from Alana's Adam's house parallel to Revere. So they're gonna build one right from Alana Adams' house straight up to Conan, right up to Dershowitz's house. So in order to build the second street, they have to knock down my neighbor across the street, knock down my house. They're gonna have to knock down Nathan Hyman's house, right? They're gonna go. So as long as they compensate me for market value, they can't take it away for nothing. But they have the right for the governmental good to do what? To go ahead and it's called eminent domain. They have a right to go ahead and do it. What do they have to do? They have to pay me, right? If they don't compensate me, it's not acceptable. So Zilberstein says, when they said, Hotziyua mishkunaso, doesn't mean that they took her house and kicked her away. They asked her, maybe they paid her, right? And they paid her. And she said, okay, I'll move away, right? So you can't bring a riot in that situation. Right? So therefore, that's not really a good example. In a different case, or much, much earlier, you know what ferberizing is? You want to tell them what ferberizing is? When you have little children, right? So there's differences of opinion as to how you get the child to sleep through the night. To me, little children, it's a battle of who's training whom. Does the baby train the mommy and the daddy? Or do the mommies and daddies eventually train the child? The question is, who's training whom? Both people, the parents and the child, think that they're going to train the other party, right? So there was a famous doctor named Ferber, and he was of the opinion that the child will learn to handle and emotionally regulate if he just is left in the crib to cry. Did I pretty much sum that up pretty well? Yes? So what if I decide I'm a believer in Ferber, right? So I feed the kid, I put the kid down, now the kid's crying. So what do? I decide I'm going to leave the kid there, right? For some reason, husbands are a lot more into Ferber than wives are, right? But now my kid thinks that, you know, okay, he's going to train me. So what does he do? So he screams at the top of his lungs. Why? Because he figures if he screams longer and louder, eventually one of the parents will be broken, right? And we'll come back in, and you know they'll learn their horrible lesson. Don't leave me, baby, in the crib so long. So, what if I'm a believer in Ferber, and you think that's crazy? You live next door, and you can't sleep because you want to come out of your house at 2 o'clock in the morning in your bathrobe to bust into the house and pick the kid up yourself. Like that's a Can I say to you, you have to do something. You can't fervorize your child.
Again, I think it boils down to orcha. Mm-hmm. If it's acceptable enough that there's enough people out there using that method, or even if not...
Sahir of Silverstein agrees with you 100%. He says, as long as... forget about what most people do. He says, if it's an acceptable method of raising children, right? It's a documented method, right? Then I have a right to say to you, listen, Yudi, you do what you do in your home. In my home, we have the Ferber sticker next to the Sloman shield, right? This is a Ferberized home, right? You do your thing, I'll do my thing. And then we go back to the whole Sma thing, and then we'll get into the issue of the Rivaj, and are you a Chol or whatever. But you don't have a right to say to me, you really feel so terrible for the kid, I'm a horrible parent, right? Because as long as I'm doing what I'm doing, and that's an acceptable method of handling things, so be it. So getting back to our world, so there is a difference between a baby and an old lady. And Rezurishin says, making the woman go to a nursing home may also be a question of sakanas nefashos. So he said, I have a better solution for everybody. Ready? Says Rezurishin. Soundproof the porch. Enclose the porch and soundproof it. Right? If you go ahead and do such a thing, right, then the people will hopefully be able to sleep. The woman will stay into her house, right? And she'll be able to handle. And so he also ends the Din Torah by saying, the people in the neighborhood, until this can be, finally finished and implemented, they should make it their business to show some compassion, right? And try to understand, just at least come to the understanding, these cries are not her cries. They're the cries that are coming, that their anger should not be towards Nebuch the lady, but rather towards the Nazis who tortured her, so seriously, to make it so that she couldn't survive. So again, just to put it into context, in terms of dealing with the PTSD Shaila, really the basic elements that we put into place were what? One, the understanding that there has to be a hezek. And how is Hezek determined? So, like we said, it's determined on what is the standard practice. According to the Mechaber, it's not the standard practice, but what did you accept? Right? According to the Ramah, it's not what you accept. It's a question of what's a normal practice. Right? And the Smad added that you can't complain what's going on in my house. Right? At the same time, we said, even things that are normal, you don't have a right to complain about. But on the other side, we pointed out that when it comes to noise, maybe we're all considered cholim. We quoted that Gemara in Sanhedrin that seemed to match up to us, but we said, who says that that means I can compel you? All that means is that I can sort of nicely make it so. And so we realized that whether we're dealing with children, or whether we're dealing with people who are at the other end of life, what we really need to ask ourselves is, what you're doing considered normal? It's considered normal, your system of discipline in your home, then I'm sort of limited. But if it's not considered normal discipline, so then if it's not considered normal discipline, so then we can't hold back. I have a right to push you in that situation. Okay, should we go on or should we stop? Maybe we should stop. It's 9 o'clock already, 9:05. Want to go on? One more?
This one is short. Can we do it in like 20 minutes?
12 for sure. Both of them are short. One or the other. Okay, so we'll do the second one. We'll save the hog one for another time. Huh? You didn't see an issue? And what do you say? Well, here's my issue. What would be the issue? The question is, I've been after my husband start planning the calendar at home, taking into account school meetings, Shabbos, all the Yom Tovim and Slichos. Now, he noted with the crazy schedule in the next 3 weeks, he doesn't know if he'll have time to build the sukkah. Can I do it? So Yechiel jumps up and he says, "Woman's not mechuyev in the sukkah. Why is a woman not mechuyev in sukkah? Mitzvah says she has one grandma.
Why can't she go? But he'll just be a because she's not mechuyev, it means she can't be yotze someone else. But just to build it, she's not being yotze. It would be no different than her.
So Dina says, well, wait a second. If I hire." If I hire Dennis, right, or Jamal from the JC to come over and build my sukkah, certainly they're not mechuyev, right? Well, Larry's going to come here and build our sukkah, but secretly, let me tell you a secret. I build our sukkah. After it's all finished, I go back in there and build every single piece of the sukkah. That's right. Does he have to do the same thing? Is what happens. I lift up every piece of schach. Scott and I are in here every Yontif. We're standing there lifting every piece of schach. It's two of us. It's like a tradition already, right? Just to make sure that the schach is put down. The key part is the schach. So that's that. But a woman and a guy are two different ball games because a woman is b'torah sukkah, right? She can sit in the sukkah. She fulfills the mitzvah. Doesn't make a difference or not. So there's a Gemara in Kiddushin. Obviously, let's start at the beginning. The Gemara in Kiddushin is on Daf Chav Tes Amad Aleph. The Gemara says that obviously women are exempt from mitzvah sasei man grama. And the Gemara says, you know what a mitzvah sasei man grama is? The Gemara says tzitzis sukkah. Now, when we say they are exempt, they are nashim turos, we know that that doesn't mean that they are. That they are not removed from the mitzvah, right? So here's the question. Can she create a situation whereby somebody else can be yotzei the mitzvah? Let me ask you a question. Can a woman ride a pair of tefillin? Can a woman tie tzitzis? Can a woman build a sukkah? Are they all the same or not? Which of them would you feel one way versus the other?
Tie tzitzis, I would think it's not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Riding tefillin, possibly.
But aren't they all the same situation? Woman's not obligated, and tefillin's not obligated, and tzitzis not obligated, and sukkah. Why is there a difference? Can a woman write? How many? Yes, there are more women that sit in the sukkah. Okay, so let's start at the beginning. Right, there is a Gemara. The Gemara appears in Sukkah on Daf Ches Amud Beis. The Gemara says that when we have a sukkah's ganbach gimel nun beis chaf. And the Mefarshim explain, Ganbach stands for Goyim, a sukkah that's built by non-Jews, Nashim, a sukkah that's built by women, Behema, a sukkah that is somehow formed by a Behema, Behema is part of the sukkah, right? Or a sukkah of a Kusi, Kaf, right? Somebody who doesn't believe in Torah Sheh, Baal Peh. So a sukkah's Ganbach is kosher. So that would seem to say very clearly that can she build the sukkah? Absolutely. And I told you it would be a short question. But here's the problem, right? The Magen Avraham and Hilchos Tzitzis, that's where you go back to look because I made the comparison. The Magen Avraham and Hilchos Tzitzis, in the Adalah, Sifkat and Gimel, notes an opinion that any mitzvah that a woman's not obligated in, she can't create. So she may be able, if the sukkah was created for women, we could sit down inside that sukkah as well, right? But if she wants to make the sukkah, and the Magen Avraham says she can't make any mitzvah that she's not obligated in, she can't make like a pair of tzitzis or a sukkah. What did the Magen Avraham just say? She can't build a sukkah. How do we make that? But isn't that against the Gemara? The Gemara says she can. Magen Avraham, she can. What happened? Magen Avraham goodbye and fell asleep that day. It's a Gemara in sukkah. It's not like it's a Gemara in the end of Temura. Right? It's sukkah. So in order to properly examine the issue, let's look at that Gemara, and let's look at it and compare it to a different Gemara. The Gemara we saw says sukkah's ganbach, 100% okay. There's a Gemara in Gittin, Daf Mem Hamad Beis, where the Gemara says, whoever is included in kshira is included in ksiva. If you have an obligation, ukshartam, then you have an opportunity of uksavtam, which is why a mother may make a tefillin bag for her bar mitzvah age child, but she cannot make the tefillin themselves. No matter how good a calligrapher she is, she cannot be the one. Why? Because there's a comparison between kshira and ksiva. So women aren't obligated in tying the tefillin, they can't write the tefillin. Now, so here's what we have. I have two competing gemaras. On the one hand, I have a gemara that says, ukshartam uksavtam. You have to be, in order to be able to make the item, you have to be included in the obligation of the item. Sukkah, is she obligated in? No. Can she make it? I guess the answer should be no. On the other hand, I have a Gemara in Sukkah that specifically says that she can make it. How do you make sense out of those two Gemaras? Right? Now we're stuck. Now we've got a situation. So, let's look at the middle case. Tefillin, clear. Sukkah, clear. It's the gap between them. Right? Reminds me of Dana Carvey, right? The amount of money you take in, the amount of money, yeah. You know what's in the middle? That's the deficit, right? That's an old routine. So the first thing, Tosus and Menachos. Tosus and Menachos says the women can make tzitzis, they can make a sukkah. And the Gemara about tefillin is unique. It's a Gemara about tefillin that's outside, right? In fact, the Rosh says that in the future, the wife of Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa is going to put tchilas on the tzitzis of tzaddikim. So you see, not only in regard to tzitzis, but in regard to sukkah, the women are going to be able to do such a thing. That's Tosfos in Menachos. Rabbeinu Tam, right there next to him, says, no. The Gemara in Gittin about the tefillin, that's the source for all mitzvahs aseisha asman grama. Women cannot create any of those things. A woman can't create a shofar, a woman can't create zur kasha of the JC, because they did a whole routine today where they made shofars. Okay, right? And so therefore, the woman can't create tzitzis, she can't build the sukkah. Of course, there's a problem with Rabbeinu Tam, because Rabbeinu Tam is what he also seems to have forgotten over Gemara, our Gemara and sukkah. See, at least Tosfos says, this is a rule by tefillin, this is a rule by sukkah, everything sort of leans towards sukkah. But what's Rabbeinu Tam going to do? So the Chasam Sofer in Yoridei Simen Reish Ayin Aleph says that it's only when it's something that needs to be done lishma, right? If you need to do something and you're told it has to be done with the right intent, right? Tzitzis has to be tied, and when we make the tzitzis, we say l'shem mitzvah tzitzis, right? When you build the sukkah, do you say l'shem mitzvah sukkah? No, we're not obligated to. You don't have to specifically say each time l'shem mitzvah sukkah, l'shem mitzvah sukkah. You don't have to say that. And so therefore, but if it has to be made lishma, then it has to be somebody who's involved in the mitzvah who's able to go ahead and do so. And that's one possibility. The Rav Yaakov Emdin, the author of the Sefer Maror Tziah, so he suggests that maybe for sukkah, that when we talk about a sukkah sgan bach, it doesn't mean that the women got together and they made the sukkah. It means that the sukkah was created for the women, not by the women. The Moshe Feinstein, the Negris Moshe, or Chaim Chelek Hei.
Sukkah is created for
Goyim? Yeah, to protect them from the sun.
Sukkah.
Maybe it is. It is. So we'll talk about that. Right? So Rav Moshe Feinstein comes along and he says, according to Rabbeinu Tam, there's no mitzvah building the sukkah. Right? There's no mitzvah to build a sukkah. There's a mitzvah to sit in the sukkah. And so if that's the case, Rabbeinu Tam would have no problem if women want to sit to build a sukkah. The only problem is when you are doing the action of sitting. Okay? So that would also provide us potential solution. And of course, the Bir Halacha turns around and says, no, that's all wrong, right? Because Rabbeinu Tam actually meant to exclude women from building the sukkah. The Chafetz Chaim, he assumes that women should not be able, that Rabbeinu Tam was trying to tell us that women are not able to build the sukkah. So again, we have these two competing Gemaras. We have the opinion of Tosfos, who says, nah, the tefillin is the outlier. Then we have the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, right, who says that no, women can't do any of the mitzvahs, right? So then we say, what do you do about sukkah? So we offer three sub-possibilities. Possibility number one is that they just can't do things that need lishma, right? Possibility number two is that we translated the Gemara wrong, right? Really, you know, and possibility, Ramosha's possibility, that there's no mitzvah building the sukkah. But of course, the Bir Halacha says, no, that women can't build the sukkah, right? According to Rabbeinu Tam. Then we have a third opinion I want to bring down, right? And that is the Beis Yosef, who says that what? She can't do the mitzvah for somebody else. This is the Beis Yosef quoting the Maharam, right? So he says she can assist in performing a mitzvah, she just can't do it for somebody, right? When it comes to tefillin, if I write your tefillin, then I'm doing it for you, right? But when it comes to the sukkah, if I build it, am I doing it for you? Right? No. Because unless you assume there's a mitzvah to build the sukkah. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that it's hard to say somebody who is exempt.
Sorry, if you go back to tefillin. The mitzvah tefillin is not to own it, but it's to put it on.
No, but there's a mitzvah uksaftam. No, there's a mitzvah of uksaftam. Amazuzos b'sechov v'sharecha. And then there's an additional mitzvah of ukshartam. You can have a sukkah that you had nothing to do with. If I find a sukkah and it's kosher, right, then I could sit inside. Even if it wasn't made l'shem sukkah. But if I find tefillin, and they were not made l'shem tefillin, I cannot wear them. The CIA, right, hides, this is actually a story, right, there was a guy who, in 2010, I happened to come across the news story this particular week. In this week's parsha, we're going to read the comment of a row That all the nations of the world are going to see that the name of Hashem is upon you, and they're going to be they're going to fear you. So we say, what are they going to see? They're going to see your tefillin. So all the famous stories about all the different chachamim who put on the tefillin, and when they rolled the tefillin back and they saw the bias of the tefillin, everyone went running away. They're all the famous stories. I think you've told a couple of them on different occasions. Right? But then there was a story that happened in 2010. It happened in my file. So this guy's on a flight, right? And he's flying to Philadelphia, and he realizes that time is passing. I think he was coming from somewhere in the south. So it was a very empty flight, and there was a back section of the plane. It was all empty. So he gets up, and he goes to the back, and he puts on talis and tefillin, right? And he's staring out the window, trying to daven. Next thing they know, that they got on the radio announcement, right? They're making an emergency landing in Chattanooga. And they make this emergency landing in Chattanooga, and the guy, as soon as the plane lands, the guy is escorted off the plane. So what's going on? They said, we want to see the film from your camera, sir. He said, I don't have a camera. They said, the flight attendant said that you were wearing it on top of your head and that you were shooting pictures of the plane engines from the wings. And he says, are you kidding me? He says, don't you know what tefillin is? The airline was so embarrassed. This made big news like 9 years ago. This was big news today. Unfortunately, the world's in a different place. But 9 years ago, this was a huge, huge news story, right? The idea of the fact that you happen to find, let's say the CIA would have come up with such a system, right? You wouldn't be able to use that tefillin. The tefillin has to be made lishma. That's what we say in the tefillin, the shame mitzvah tefillin. You don't have to say that when it comes to a sukkah. So the Hashulchan wants to argue that it's hard to say that somebody who is exempt can't help somebody else do the mitzvah, right? The main part of the mitzvah tzitzis is wearing. And why would a sukkah skanbach be okay? So we see, unless a woman, according to the Maram, right, this third opinion, unless a woman is specifically excluded from the mitzvah of, from a mitzvah, like tefillin, right, so then the woman can do the mitzvah and she can prepare it. So as far as the sukkah is concerned, Moses says, of course she can build it. Rabbeinu Tam says no, according to the Chafetz Chaim, or possibly yes, according to the Chasam Sofer and Rav Moshe Feinstein. And the Maharam says lechatchila no, that's the Beis Yosef. And according to Agos Maimonides, the answer is no, even lechatchila she can do it. So the Magen Avraham seems to suggest that lechatchila one shouldn't allow a woman to build a sukkah. Why? Because he seems to be concerned about this one opinion of the Maharam according to the Beis Yosef, or according to Rabbeinu Tam, according to the Bir Halacha. Right? But according to the rove of the poskim who discussed the issue, can she build that sukkah? Yeah! And the halacha, the machabe says women can build the sukkah l'chadchila. The Rama may be cautious to drop, but that may only be by tzitzis studies cautious. The poskim I spoke to, including my dear friend, the aforementioned Rabbi Leibowitz, will be here in 3 weeks. They were all of the opinion that if you are in this kind of a situation, l'chadchila! Obviously the woman can go ahead and build the sukkah. Why do you have to wait until the point in time where you're standing there 20 minutes before lich benching, right? And you're saying, wait, I can't find piece A, I can't get notch A into piece B, right? Of course that's ridiculous. So whatever it takes, obviously in such a situation it would be acceptable, okay? So there we go, and Be'ezus Hashem, we will continue next week. Tshuva week.